Chapter 7. The Dry Fly Fisherman. I needed to get my coat and Scudder's black book back from Mr. Turnbull, but my head and shoulder were making it hard to do anything. I had to get back to London to the Foreign Office. I didn't think I could get any more proof than I already had, so either they would believe my story or not. I used Sir Harry's map to find my way to Mr. Turnbull's house. I walked all night. I found a house I could get some food from when it got light. I found a bush to sleep in until it was night again. I walked all night again and reached Mr. Turnbull's house by the next morning. I gave him back his clothes and took back my things from him. But I was terribly sick now. Mr. Turnbull looked after me for 10 days. He put me to bed and bought me food. My shoulder was much better after 10 days, and I could walk again. But it took another 5 days before I could set off again. I gave Mr. Turnbull money for taking care of me. He tried to refuse, but I felt he should have the money. His friend was going to Galloway and agreed to take me down with him. I got on the train, which arrived at 8 o'clock in the morning. I got off the train and began walking to the house of Sir Harry's friend in the Foreign Office. It was very different from Scotland. There was a man who was fishing in the river. As I passed, he greeted me. "Your name is Twisden, isn't it?" he asked, as he tried to catch a black fish that looked like a stone to me. "No, I mean to say yes," I said. I had forgotten about my other name. "It's a wise man who knows his own name," he smiled. All of a sudden he changed and started shouting at me. "How dare you come here and beg? You can get a meal from the house, but you'll get no money from me." I didn't know what was going on, but a moment later a man went by with a cart. Once the cart had gone and was out of sight, the man climbed out of the stream. "That's my house." He pointed to a house a little way away. "Wait 5 minutes and then come to the back door," he said to me, and left. I did as he asked, and I waited for 5 minutes. Then I walked to the back door. A servant was waiting for me by the door. "This way, sir," he said. I followed him through the house to a bedroom that overlooked the stream. There were clothes on the bed for me. They were all the right size, and even some new shoes. "What is all this?" I asked. "There's a bathroom through here. You can shave, wash, and then change. Dinner will be ready in 30 minutes, sir," the servant said, and left. I sat down in the armchair and thought about how strange it all was. Sir Harry's friend at the Foreign Office, Sir Walter, believed me. I was in Sir Walter's house, and clearly he believed me too. I looked at myself in the mirror. I looked terrible. Nothing like the gentleman I was in London, or the mining engineer I was in South Africa. I washed, shaved, and got changed into my new clothes. It had been weeks since I had done any of these things, and it felt remarkably good. Sir Walter was waiting for me in the dining room. There was a small table that was laid out for dinner. He looked exactly like a man from the Foreign Office should. He was well-dressed, respectable, and the sight of him made me feel rather small. He couldn't possibly know I was just a mining engineer, or he wouldn't treat me like this. "Thank you for all of this, but I must tell you everything. I didn't kill Scudder in my home, but I am wanted by the police for murder. I had to tell you this, so if you want me to leave, I will go." "That's all right. Dinner is ready, and we should eat. We can talk about things after dinner," he replied. I was very hungry, so I ate everything very quickly. It was a very fine meal. Sir Walter was very good at looking after his guests. It felt so strange to be treated so well after weeks of being chased across Scotland. We talked about hunting around the world, as Sir Walter had done some hunting in his day. When dinner was finished, we went into the study and sat down. It was full of books and chairs, and I made up my mind that I would have a room just like it in my house if I lived long enough to get home again. After we had coffee, Sir Walter sat in one of the armchairs and said, "I've done what Harry wanted, but only because he told me you would tell me something to wake me up. I'm ready, Mr. Hannay." I began at the start. I told him about how bored I was in London, and how I'd come home one night to find Scudder at my elbow. I told him everything that I could remember about Carolides and the Foreign Office event. This made Sir Walter grin. When it got to Scudder's murder, his grin disappeared. I told him all about the milkman and what had happened when I got to Galloway. Then it came to breaking the code on Scudder's little black book. "Have you got it here?" he asked suddenly. He looked surprised when I pulled the little black book from my pocket. I didn't tell him about what was in the book. I moved on to escaping from the inn and meeting Sir Harry. I told Sir Walter about the speeches at the Masonic Hall and all the nonsense that Sir Harry had said. "Harry talked nonsense, did he? I can believe it. He's a good chap, but his idiot uncle stuffed all that nonsense into his head." "Go on, Mr. Hannay," Sir Walter said. "When it got to my day as a roadman in place of Mr. Turnbull, he was very interested. He asked me to describe the men in the car and seemed to be trying to remember them. When it got to Marmee, he laughed at what I did to him. The old man in the garden made his grin disappear again. He asked me to describe him in as much detail as I could. He looked like a hawk, and you set off an explosive in his house after he sent the police away? What a thing to do," Sir Walter said. I reached the end of my story with meeting Sir Walter at the stream. When I had finished, Sir Walter stood up and walked around the room. "You can stop worrying about the police. You are in no danger from them," he said. "What? Have they found the real murderer?" I asked. "No, but they know that you didn't kill Scudder," Sir Walter replied. "What? How?" I asked. "I got a letter from Scudder. I knew him a little. He did some work for me. He was an honest man. He was sometimes in trouble because he worked on his own a lot of the time. He wasn't much good as a spy because of that, but he was very clever. I think he was the bravest man I ever met. I had a letter from him at the end of May," Sir Walter said. "But he was dead for a week by then," I replied. "The letter was written and sent the day before he died. He didn't expect to die the next day. His letter took so long to get to me because it was sent undercover to Spain and then to Newcastle. He was always very careful to cover his tracks," Sir Walter said. "What did he say?" I asked. "Nothing much. He said he was in danger, but was safe with a good friend and that I would hear from him before the 15th of June. He didn't give me an address, but did mention the building he was found dead in. When I went to see the police and saw what they found, I knew that you were the friend who was looking after him. We asked people about you, Mr. Hannay, and found that you were a good chap. I thought Scudder had told you about all this, which is why you ran from the police and the enemy. Then I got the letter from Harry, and I guessed the rest. I've been waiting for you for a week," Sir Walter said. "I felt like I was a free man again. I was only against the enemy and not the police. Now, let us look at Scudder's little black book," he said. We looked at the notes for an hour. I told Sir Walter what the code was, and he understood it very quickly. When we had finished, Sir Walter looked very serious, and he sat down without saying a word. He was quiet for a while, but at last he said, "I don't know what to make of it. He is right about one thing. What is going to happen the day after tomorrow? I don't know how he found out about it, but all this about war and the Black Stone is like something you would see at the theatre. I don't know if Scudder is just seeing danger where there is none. Black Stone is a book in Germany. It could just be a wild story. And all this stuff about Carolides is the part of the story I find the least likely to be true. I know that Carolides has done things that Germany and Austria want in the last few weeks. He isn't going to be killed. Scudder got that bit wrong. No one in Europe wants him to be killed. But there is still something terrible going on. Scudder found out too much and they killed him for it. I think it is more likely to be ordinary spy work. There is a country in Europe that plays at the spy game. They want our navy for their own. But they won't get it." The door to the room opened and a man came in. "There's a phone call from London, Sir Walter," he said. Sir Walter went to take the phone call. He came back in 5 minutes later. He looked very pale. "I am sorry, Hannay. I was wrong. Carolides was killed this evening," he said.